I'm sorry, but I'm going to start with Billy, the guy that you hate.
Great.
Felt Billy made a taco truck. It was cool. Whatever. He made tacos out of felt, and you could build a taco. What kid does not want a counter to build a taco on?
It's cool.
Every kid. His handwriting is atrocious.
It's so, so bad. It's a cool idea. It looks like a cat turd. He loves felt. Felt is lame. You have to put it down. That's enough. You're a grown man.
Listen, the tacos opened and shut. Stop it. They were amazing. He did menus in English and Spanish. Someone else should have written them.
This is Emily Thomas, and you're listening to the Struggle Well Project podcast. Do I say podcast after that? This is all so weird.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to the Struggle Well Project podcast, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember that you're already enough. So this week has been so fun, largely because I found a new coffee shop to work at right by my house. And I walk up to the front, and who is there but someone who listens to the podcast? She's the owner. Oh my gosh, so, so good. And then on top of everything, they had a pumpkin spice snickerdoodle. I can't even handle it. So if you live near me in North Dallas, go to Mudleaf Coffee. You will not be sorry. So a second ago, you heard a clip from the Struggling Sister Show. That is a Patreon exclusive for supporters of the show. My sister and I record some extra things. Right now, we are recapping the show Making It. And it cracks me up how anti-Billy Katie is. I don't even know. She's so against him. I like to root for him just because she's so against him. This week, Katie made a video to kind of explain what is Patreon, why is Struggling Sisters a thing. She has no background in video production, but she did such a good job. So if you're interested in additional exclusive content from us, head to patreon.com/strugglewellproject and watch that video, and it'll tell you everything you need to know. Now it's time for the review of the week from iTunes. I love making this show and sharing my heart with you each week. I really love hearing your hearts back. So do me a favor if you haven't, and take a second to leave a review on the Apple Podcast app. This week, Slammer says, "My wife loves to listen to this podcast while she's making breakfast for the kids. She says it really helps her feel like she's not doing the mom thing alone." Well, Slammer, your wife is not alone. And also, what an interesting name you have there, sir. This made me think of something I've never thought about before. Ladies, if you're married, your husband has a phone. When he's not around today, why don't you go ahead and leave a review on his behalf about how much he loves this podcast? I feel like that's a really good idea. All right, so last week my guest was Jamie Golden, and we tackled topics like faith and pop culture, humor and women. We also talked about the Enneagram, of course, and ADD. Make sure you add that to your listening list if you didn't already. It's a really good episode, if I do say so myself. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. This is episode 151, and I am talking with Teresa Swanstrom Anderson. I wanted you to hear from her because she's a girl who has followed God into some seriously unusual directions. We talked about waiting with intention, making your home a sanctuary, and her unusual dinner parties, which I really want to have myself. I learned a lot from her, and I know you will too. Let's go ahead and jump in. Hey, Teresa, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You're having a good morning.
Yes, it's the second day of school. So,
I know. Where are you living? Where do you live?
We live in Denver.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about your family.
Yeah, it's loud over here. We have 6 kids, 2 little blondie biological boys, and 4 from Ethiopia. So okay. Our span is 5 to 18.
Yes. That's a big span. How old were your sons when you adopted them from Ethiopia?
Well, we keep bookending our kids. We've done pretty much everything you're not supposed to do.
Okay.
So we had our little blondies, which were 3 and 4 at the time. And then we brought home a baby who was 5 months. And then a couple months later, we brought home a 6-year-old boy.
Okay.
And then we moved here to Denver just shortly after that. And then brought home another baby girl and then a teenage boy.
And so why in that way? And are you done? And how do you know?
I said we were done when we had 3 kids.
Okay.
So I don't really know.
Okay.
I don't want to say that we're done because I think God will just laugh in my face. So who knows?
Well, reading your story, I mean, it's pretty, it's all over the place. So yeah.
It is. Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't say I was done either in your situation.
And sorry, what was the other question you asked?
So how did it end up that you went with the little girls and the older boys? And like, did you just get there and then meet two that you felt connected to? Or how does that work?
Well, we initially got on the baby waiting list for a little girl because I just really wanted a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew from even before we were engaged that we wanted to adopt from Africa specifically. We just didn't know what country within it.
Mm-hmm.
And fell in love with Ethiopia. So as we're in this process of just kind of the waiting period with being on the baby list, we started going to the backside of our agency's website and just praying over all those older kids or the ones that had special needs, you know, all the quote unquote harder to get adopted, you know, type kids. And just one night while we were praying over each of those faces, we saw Ezekiel and just, I don't know, there was something about him. I mean, they were all cute. You want to bring them all home.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord just really highlighted this particular boy. So we asked more information from our agency and they sent it over and we asked for prayer and discernment and wisdom from all of our friends and family. And literally, Emily, not one person supported us.
Wow.
Not one parent, not our pastor who was our dear friend, like literally not one single person. Everyone said, do not go outside your birth order. You're going to destroy your family is, you know, what one of our family members sat knee to knee with me and told me.
Yeah.
And I think that as parents or as friends, even, we really want to shelter each other from hard things.
Yeah.
And I grew up with a lot of adoption around me on my mom's side. Yeah. And so I think that my parents, you know, I don't know about what Ben's parents, you know, were really thinking, but from my side, I think that they thought, you know, I just want to help you from the hard things that we've seen, all my cousins and such. And we got scared and we sent the information, the little DVD of, you know, video and pictures and stuff that our agency has sent it back to them and said, I'm so sorry to have wasted your time. We just don't think that's the right fit. So that was in August of 1 year.
How did that feel to really feel like it was the right fit? Like you didn't think it wasn't the right fit.
Right. I thought, well, I think often we kind of want to go big real quick. And my husband and I are kind of a all in type of people. And so I think we just got scared thinking, well, are we just trying to save the world? Or are we actually hearing God? Or are we just hearing how fun this would be to bring home an older boy without all the reality behind it? So yeah, that was in August, the same month we were matched with Sweet Imani. And then fast forward to November and we get the call saying it's time to go bring Imani home. And by the way, that little boy that you were looking at all those months ago, he's been moved from many, many hours outside the capital of Ethiopia to 15 minutes away from where you're going to be staying.
Oh,
do you
goodness.
Have any desire to meet him? He'd have no idea that you were there specifically for him. Just bring some jump ropes and some gum and hang out with the kids for the afternoon. And so comes out between my husband and I that we still thought of this kid all the time. We prayed for him every day and we just didn't talk about it because we thought the door had closed.
Wow.
So obviously it was not closed. We were holding it closed with our everything that we thought we had.
Well, it's hard because we're supposed to seek wise counsel and we're, you know what I mean? Like you don't want to be unwise, especially when it involves a child's life.
Right. Totally.
We all have favorite photos. We cherish them. We adore them. We just look at them and think, oh my goodness, I've got it so good with all these cute people and animals around me. But here's the question. Wouldn't you love to see the photos sitting on your phone turned into something displayed on your wall? My kids are getting older and older, and so they want to be in my pictures less and less. So when I get a really good one, I want to put it up. Canvas people
transforms the Thomas photos into beautiful, unique canvases that are very easy to hang and make my house look like I know what I'm doing in the decoration department. And by the way, right now, Canvas People is going to give today's listeners an 11 by 14 canvas, which costs $69.99 usually. They're going to give it to you for free. That's right, free. Just pay shipping. Visit canvaspeople.com and upload your photo and enter the special code MSW. So again, to get your free print, go to canvaspeople.com today and use promo code MSW. Wow, that's so hard. Okay, so that was the first time. So then you go and you're adopting another little girl.
So we, again, had just recently moved here to Denver. We were actually, we bought a house that was deemed uninhabitable.
But why? Why? Like structurally or what?
Yeah, it was just...
You guys do interesting things.
We like ripping things down and building things back up.
Yeah, okay, so I'm sorry. What was uninhabitable about it?
Well, first of all, the family that lived there before us, I think, got angry when they realized that, hey, if you don't pay your mortgage, you don't actually get to keep your house. So they totally trashed it. Oh. But more than that, just remodeling through the years was done really shoddily. So the stairs, you know, going up, you thought that they were going to collapse under you. In fact, one of our kids walked up the stairs, you know, holding onto the handrail, mm-hmm. and it came off in his hand, and all the spindles were just like,
Oh, wow. Welcome home, kids.
Okay, well, we will put that right there.
Wow. So you've moved into that house, and so it just feels like a good time to add two more kids.
Right. Totally made sense. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, we were just tied up financially into this home, and we were not looking to adopt again anytime soon, especially not a teenage boy, because we always said, you know, we wouldn't do it that old when we have such young kids in the house. And one day it was nap time. I was scrolling through Facebook and just read this fellow adoptive mom's story of this teenage boy named Abram. And I burst into tears, and I am not a crier, like at all. And I was like, oh my gosh, God, this is our son. And again, we were not looking to adopt at all during that time. So it was super out of the blue. And I was thinking, what on earth, God? Surely I am just
hormonal or something.
Hormonal or I don't know what, sleep deprived. And my husband and I are like annoying high school kids, and we talk on the phone a million times a day and text, you know, constantly. In fact, I've gotten a couple texts from him while we're chatting, even though he knows I'm on this recording with you. But that day was just radio silence, and we didn't chat at all. And it was like the Lord was preparing each of us individually for a conversation that night. And he gets home from work, and I'm stirring dinner on the stove, and he comes and kisses me and says, hey, we need to chat. And I just basically verbally vomited all over him and just said, is it about a boy named Abram? Because I think he's our son. Just like super fast. And he took a step back, and his eyes were really wide. And he said, actually, yeah, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. He had seen Abram, same story, different social media outlet, different person posting.
No.
Yeah, isn't that nuts? But same kid. And so we called our agency that next morning and asked if we could move forward in adopting him. And we hadn't even had our home study or anything done in Colorado. So we had to start from scratch. And mm-hmm. we basically did everything backwards. You know, you don't find a kid first and then decide to go through everything else. But they said, actually, I'm so sorry. This other family has already started, you know, everything with him. But we find out as we kind of go along that they said off the record, because we know them well by this point, because we've been working with them for several years.
Yeah.
He said off the record, he wants to be a pastor when he grows up. This family is not a Christian family. It would be a very bad matching. But, you know, legally, there's nothing we can do. So we recommend that you pray them out. And so we did.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was in December of 1 year. And then that next Easter, we are buckling the kids up in the car after service and get an email from my agency. And we think that it is just an update on Abram. And instead, it is about 20 pictures of a little baby girl. And the last couple of pictures are Abram holding a baby girl, or, you know, that baby. And we're all, what on earth? Who is this? And surprise, I guess we had put ourselves on the baby waiting list again, and I literally do not remember doing so.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So those are, you know, most recent two, which is our oldest and our youngest.
Are they siblings?
Not biologically.
No. Oh, I didn't know if him holding her, if it was like his sister or there or something.
It was just, they were at the same orphanage.
Okay.
So they told him, this is your sister, before we actually had agreed to.
Oh, right.
To approve the.
That's definitely one way to get a lot of kids adopted. Just you're a package deal. Wow. You know, my kids are both adopted, and it's such an encouragement, again, just to God puts families together, you know, and the times that we tried to adopt kids that were, it just didn't work. And it feels so discouraging, kind of like in your story, everything, it's not linear. It feels confusing. There's a lot of waiting. There's a lot of closed doors. But then doors are open that you're like, that was a wall. There was not even a door there.
Totally.
Wow. God is so good to us, and confusing, but super good.
Yeah. He's very creative. That's for sure.
He is. I want to talk about home for a second, which you don't know we're going to talk about this, but you love making everything beautiful and like your hair pink. And I'm sure there's a lot of pink in your house. You're wearing all pink.
Yeah. Our front door is pink, actually.
That totally makes sense. That's on brand for you. How do you kind of build a home? And with all this, you know, I know you've done some work on your house, so the railing is not still like sitting on the floor of the stairs, but how do you make your home feel cozy and safe? And what would be like a easy kind of affordable way that you would say, because you were going to be an interior designer. You loved that.
Yeah, I do love that.
Until math, which I get it. How do you make your home feel safe? How would you suggest a woman make her home like a sanctuary spot?
That's such a good question. Well, I think we have a lot of preconceived notions about making a beautiful home one with a lot of expensive things. Mm-hmm. And when my best friend, who lives on the East Coast, she came to visit us for the first time in our current house. And I went around, and if I get a deal on my pair of shoes, I'm going to tell you, hey, I got these at Anthropologie for $10. I just feel like that's important information. But I'm the same way with my best friend Keisha. As I was walking through my house, I was like, I got this chair at Goodwill at their 99-cent sale. I got this, you know, at Target, again, on clearance. And she's like, you do realize you can give a tour without telling people, you know, the very few dollars that you spent on your stuff. And I was like, oh, well, I suppose that's true, but this is a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that we need to, first of all, know what kind of feel we want in our home. Personally, I want a really friendly, inviting, warm home that just feels cozy. So yeah, we might have, as crazy as the sound, we might have a white couch, but it is slip covered and it is washable. And, you know, everything around us is full of color, and it's okay if there's a little spot on it. And I don't want a home, you know, Michael and Swift, I think that I learned this from her.
She's a nester for anyone who's listening.
Sorry, the nester.
That's fine.
I think that I don't want for someone to come into my home and think, oh, I can't touch anything, or I better not spill this, you know, lemonade on their cushion because it probably cost $500. Mm-hmm. Or I better take my shoes off because I would hate to ruin their rug. I just want someone to just collapse into my couch and instead just be ready to curl up and just have real conversation.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answered your question at all, but it's just really important to me that we have a home where people want to be.
Yeah. I think that's hard because sometimes we get really caught up in having a home that looks, and I'm guilty of this. I can get caught up in having a home that looks cozy and comfortable, but also it needs to be just so. Like the ditch I fall in is not that it has to be clean, but that it has to be tidy. But to the point where, like, if you're done playing with Legos and they're not cleaned up immediately, like, I have a hard time handling that. You know, so it looks cozy, but like the workings of the house are like, get it in order, dude. So I don't know. I want it to feel cozy, not just look. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And for it to be a place where your kids want to bring their friends.
Yes.
I will admit that I'm a piler. Okay. And it drives Ben crazy, but I don't know why people still send mail.
I know, stop it.
Email me and I'll put it in an email file. Don't send me paper. I don't know what to do with it. So yeah. I just end up piling because I'm scared to throw the wrong thing away.
Just put it in a basket, then it's cute.
There you go.
Okay, so tell me about this Danish word that means like sanctuary or like presence. How do you even say it?
I probably still butcher it, even though I've looked it up a bunch of times. It's hygge.
Hygge. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I was writing an article for Denver Style magazine, and it was, you know, all about being cozy. And we were, you know, our family was all decked out in very cozy Denver wear, you know, for this photo shoot. And I didn't want to just talk about the clothes. I wanted to talk about, what does this look like? What does it mean to live a cozy life? And so that was the first time that I'd ever really figured out that it's more of a frame of mind as I looked into what does this word mean? And it's less about getting a cute, cozy blanket and some candles. And it's more about just really relishing the togetherness and understanding that living in the now, especially in a time when it's, you know, it gets cold here in Colorado, maybe not so much in Dallas, but we just really hunker down and we say no a lot during the winter. We do a lot of sports in the spring and fall, and then summer and winter on purpose, we don't do a whole lot. So just really spending time together doing board games or watching movies or just really enjoying the act of being together.
Mm-hmm. I definitely could do a better job at that, but I'm working towards it.
It's hard.
It can be hard. Because together is where the fighting happens, too.
No, I know. It's so true.
I want to say a special thank you to PrepDish for their support of this show. If you are sick of wondering what's for dinner and knowing that it's just kind of looming in the back of your brain that you're going to have to figure it out eventually because the people you live with keep wanting to eat over and over, let PrepDish make it to where you don't have to think about meals anymore. I would really encourage you to try PrepDish meal plans if you haven't done so already. They help me to save time and be efficient in the kitchen. I know I'm eating healthy. It's gluten-free, dairy-free, and paleo. It's just made from real food, and that makes me feel better because I know it's good for my family. Just as an example, this week we're having shrimp stir fry with cauliflower rice. There's hazelnut pork chops. Allison even plans a dessert every week, which I usually eat really quickly and wish there had been a second dessert planned. But that's another issue for another day. So Allison is offering listeners of the Struggle Well Project podcast a free 2-week trial to try it out yourself. Check out prepdish.com/SWP for this amazing deal. Again, that's prepdish.com/SWP, and you're going to get your first 2 weeks for free. There have been several difficult parenting days where I have considered going to a hotel and not telling anybody where I am just so that I can have a moment's peace. But also, I sleep really well in hotels. And I think it's because they have a really good sheet. A lot of times. I guess it depends on the hotel. It should not be that difficult to have sheets like that at home. And guess what? I figured out how. Brooklinen sent me a pair of sheets and they're fantastic. Brooklinen was founded in early 2014 by a husband and wife who felt like, why are sheets that are nice so expensive? They set out to make luxury sheets without the luxury markup because most bedding is marked up like 300%. So they take out the middleman and have a small business approach to everything that saves the rest of us a bunch of money. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept in. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for my listeners, so you can get $20 off plus free shipping when you use promo code SWP at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure that you're going to love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code SWP at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code SWP. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. Okay, so you wrote a book and it's called Beautifully Interrupted, and I'm really enjoying it. I actually, because we thought we were going to move, so I had it packed up with all my books because the real estate agents, like, you have way too many books, you know? So, okay. So I put them in boxes. Well, I dug this one out and I am about halfway done with it. And it really is so good. Like a story about someone's life when they're not that old. I guess mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be so, like, it's really captivating. I love
Thank
it.
You.
It's a great book. So, but you talk about discovering your passion for art kind of on accident. And so you discover that you're passionate about art, but then you realize, like, that doesn't mean you need to be an art curator in Europe.
Right.
I can be passionate about something and I don't have to follow that. And if I don't follow that, I'm missing what God has for me. And I
right.
think sometimes we think, if I love it, I have to do it. And if I'm not doing it, I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah. And that's something that we're even trying to teach our 18-year-old right now, which is crazy to us that, crazy to me anyway, that we have a kid that old.
Yeah.
But, you know, he came and initially was this massive runner. And that was his identity. And, you know, he went from, because he was so good at it, he just was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the Olympics. This is my life. I'm going to become a professional runner. I'm going to change the world doing it, because he just wanted to, you know, share the gospel. And then all of a sudden reality started crashing down and we went through some really, really hard stuff as a family. And one of the things that he realized about himself is, you know what? I don't actually love running. I don't want to do it my whole life. I'm good at it, but it doesn't mean that I have to do it forever. I can just do it and enjoy going on a run.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really big eye-opening thing for him, kind of releasing that control. And I think that that's really what I went through as well with my art.
So what do you do with it when you love it? Doesn't it feel like it should be used for something? So how would you encourage a woman who's like, I've got this thing I'm really good at, but my daily life has nothing to do with that, right. or I'm not using that to make money or support my family?
You know, as trite as this sounds, just really pray about it and ask. For example, I love planning parties. Parties are my jam. I love parties. And I've always thought, you know, I should just become a party planner, but I really don't want to give up my weekends.
Yes.
So I'm not sure how that would work. So instead, I've really been able to kind of hone that in and use it in inviting people into our homes. And this is the first home in my entire life where I know my neighbors.
Mm.
And why? Because I invite them in. You know, the lady behind the deli counter, her name's Tigist, and we have become friends, and she's come over to my home. And I am an introvert, so it's really awkward for me to get outside my comfort zone and invite random people over.
Mm-hmm. Tell me how that works. What does that look like for someone who goes, how do I go from getting a pound of turkey from her to she's coming to my house for lunch?
Well, it does help that she's Ethiopian. So
okay,
she was giving me hair advice.
Oh, I love it. Okay, good.
For our girls. And because everyone thinks that they need to give me hair advice because apparently I am incompetent.
Now, okay, is that because they don't like what you've done with their hair, or is it just because you're white, they assume you don't know about it for good reason? I mean, I would have
right.
no idea what to do.
I can barely do my own hair.
Whatever. Your hair is amazing.
I think that, gosh, I mean, just in the African community, they see hair as just such a crown mm-hmm. of glory and of beauty. And this is just a way that really shows that you care for yourself and you care for your child. And so I think that they are wanting to help.
Okay.
And I've needed to get over the idea that it is offensive, because I don't think that they mean it as being offensive, just
right.
helpful.
It's like when we lived in China and they would tell me I was getting a little fat. To them, they were like, you obviously don't know, so let me let you know. I'm helping.
That's
so,
super yeah. helpful. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that felt good.
Felt so good for 3 years.
So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of an easy in, because we started talking about African hair. But I just said, you know, I'm having a dinner party with a bunch of women that I don't know, because I keep waiting for an invitation. And being the new girl to town, I keep thinking that I should be invited by someone, but no one's inviting me. So I'm going to just back up and start doing the inviting myself.
Okay.
And so I started just really thinking of any possible way for my house to be filled with women so that I could actually get to know them on more than just a surfacey level, more than just I'm standing by you at a soccer game and we're talking about our goofy kids. You know, I wanted to really know people.
So you had a dinner party, and what did that what did that look like? Because women are lonely, and I hear so much that they want community, but they just won't do anything about it because they're afraid.
Exactly. And I think it's easy to be brave on social media, but it's so hard to be brave in when we're looking eye to eye with someone.
Yes.
Especially if we are a little bit shy or introverted like I am. I mean, talking to you on this one-on-one, I'm great. But in a big room, I will be clinging the wall.
Yeah.
So I just realized that there were women that I wanted to know and women that I come in contact with throughout our weeks, and they intrigued me, you know, various people. It didn't matter what age or if they had children or if they were married, or some of the people even had different first languages than I do.
Okay.
And I started every month just inviting a different group of women in, and I on purpose invited women that I knew did not know each other.
Okay. How did that go? Was it awkward as the host?
It was a little bit interesting. I would have, again, in my backyard, and I do not have a spectacular backyard. It's just a normal backyard. But I'd set out dinner and name tags so everyone knew that they had a place. And from feedback that I got from people, they really liked having a name tag or a place card or whatever.
It certainly like ups the level of fanciness.
It does. But I think that people were like, that is my name.
Mm-hmm.
She thought about me before I walked in the door. She was expecting me. And I don't know. There was just...
You're part of something.
Like, yeah. It's kind of like when you're dating someone and they made a reservation.
Mm.
You know, they took the time and thought where you would like to go and took the time to... I don't know. There was just something to me about a guy making a reservation.
Yes.
So, yeah, we would go around in the beginning and, you know, again, no one knew each other. So it was a little bit on the quiet side, a little bit, everyone's a little tentative. But I had these goofy questions that basically table topics that I just made up myself. And we'd all have our little, you know, table topic next to us and we'd go around and ask each other and it became really funny. And some of them are goofy questions and some of them were serious questions. And we kind of start out the evening with the goofy ones and gradually, you know, get more serious and deeper. And by the end, you know, not every time were people crying, but, you know, there were some tears often. And there was a lot of hugging and phone number exchanging at the very end of the night.
Isn't that beautiful to see? I love when the times I've connected, like the women who live in my neighborhood with my girlfriends from church. I mean, we had a funeral that happened in my neighborhood and my friends from church came to support my neighborhood friends. And I love that they love each other.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, that is, even as you're talking, I'm really inspired to like invite all the women on my street over because that could be weird, but I think it'd be really fun.
It is awkward. I'm not going to lie. And sometimes people look at you like, I don't know you. Why would I come to your home?
Yeah.
But even, you know, the woman that lives a couple doors down that it took me a long time to even know her name because she would drive into her garage and put the door immediately down. Mm-hmm. She was not someone that really walked her dogs out in the street. And we would always chat and say hi as we were getting our mail or anything. You know, she was a very closed person, but really she was just lonely like me. And she needed the invitation.
That's good. I think I'm having a party for my street girls. That sounds bad.
Yay.
Not my street girls. Not women of the street. Never mind.
or maybe women of the street.
Or maybe street girls. Yeah. I mean, I'm not against the street girl. Okay, so let's move on. If you have been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know Rebecca Smith Online, who likes to go by Rebecca. She is the founder of Better Life Bags, which is a custom handbag company right in Detroit, Michigan. Every bag is handmade. It's hand cut. It's hand sewn by a woman in their community who is under-resourced. Anytime you buy something from Better Life Bags, you know that it gives that woman an opportunity to provide for her family and have a marketable skill. Their website is so fun because you get to pick
all of the fabrics, all of the leather, the colors. You get to design your own bag. And I don't know how they do it, but they all come out looking great. Rebecca and her people pride themselves on bringing you a very high quality product with a very important cause. I don't know if you've seen, but they just launched some new earrings. I love them. They're so cute. Rebecca's hope is to hire high school girls to make them and help the high school girls save money for college. How great is that? So Rebecca has given all of you the opportunity to get 10% off with the code SWP. And if you order something $250 or more, you also get free shipping. So go to betterlifebags.com, buy yourself something pretty, know that you're helping other women across the country, and put in coupon code SWP to save a couple bucks. So you talk in your book about positioning yourself during the waiting season, and how you position yourself matters. Like, we all have things we're waiting on, and sometimes we just think, okay, fine, I'll wait. But how we wait really matters. And so I wanted to, you said that we don't have to be gloomy and somber about it, but we can have anticipation and we can abide with Christ as we do it. So talk to me about waiting and encourage a waiting woman about how to do it well.
Yeah, gosh, waiting is such a big one. And I think for all of us, whether we're waiting to have children or waiting to get married or waiting for that job promotion or waiting to figure out what we're supposed to be doing with our lives, just whatever it is, we just go from one waiting season to another, I think. And learning to do that with grace and with intentionality is really important. You know, when I first really felt God prompting on something, I thought, okay, well, tomorrow he will provide it and I'm going to hitch my train to his and we're just going to go. And that's just not the reality. And there needs to be a lot of preparation before we are ready for whatever it is. You know, I think we forget that when Abraham was told that he would father a nation, it was 25 years until Isaac was born. And when David was, you know, just a little shepherd and was anointed with oil, he didn't know what he was anointed for. He didn't know it was kingship. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what it was. He was not told. He just knew that he was set apart for something. And it was over a decade until he was crowned king.
Yeah, I love that in your book, you pointed out how, but he also, because he played an instrument, he was around the king.
Yeah.
And then he was the armor bearer. So he got to hear about war strategies and stuff. So he was getting prepared in the waiting for the thing you didn't even know he was being prepared for. I don't know that God is faithfully working in the middle of what feels like we're just kind of stalled out and sitting there.
Exactly. And I think that that's what is so important for us to just continue with is, okay, we know we're in a waiting season. I'm not just going to sit at home and watch Netflix all the time. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to do all these things that I feel like maybe this would be the right thing to do, whether it's volunteering or maybe it's taking a class or, you know, maybe it's getting out there and inviting people into your home. Just kind of keep moving, keep stepping forward, even if you have no idea if this is really the right avenue, because so often all these silly seeming or inconsequential seeming stuff that we are doing are used for, you know, that purpose that God has for us. You know, when David was playing the harp for Saul, I'm sure he was like, whatever, you know, this is kind of cool, but how is this going to help me in the future? But really, that's how he met Jonathan, his best friend in the world. Mm-hmm. That's how he met Michael, a woman that he loved dearly, who became one of his wives, but a wife. And he was able to see what does a king's life look like at home. And then again, like you said, becoming the armor bearer, he was basically a fly on the wall for King Saul during battle. And he saw, how does the king respond when things go well? How does he respond when things go awry? You know, listening to all of the generals as they try and figure out the best course of action. He was privy to all that confidential information.
Yeah.
And that again prepared him for one day becoming king. And he had no idea. He just thought he was holding someone's shield and sword.
Yeah, that's good. It's really encouraging for us who feel like we're
things are on hold, you know, for various reasons. And we all feel that way. That's why it's so important to realize that we all are waiting for something. It's not just me. It's not just you.
Right.
I love it. Well, your book is great. We're
Thank
out of
you.
Time almost, but I just want to say you did a great job.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so I want to end with a lightning round and ask you a bunch of questions that don't make any sense, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're going to do great. I feel it. Okay, so what is your favorite thing to shop for?
Pillows.
Okay. Where's your favorite place
Pretty
to
pillows.
Buy a pillow? Yeah.
Target or Anthropologie or World Market.
I know. I love World Market. I love Anthropologie too, but I only shop in the sale little room.
Yeah,
but it sounds like you do too.
Straight to the back.
Yeah. Okay. I've been loving buying those pretty little glasses from there, like cups. They have really pretty ones that are like $2. I love it.
Yeah, they've got great coffee mugs too.
I bought a coaster there, just only one coaster, not a set or anything. And it was like $1.49 or something. And the girl at the checkout was like, I have never seen something here for $1. I was like, I'm so proud of myself. It really is like a medal.
It is.
I have a World Market, like a really long kind of a farmhouse dinner table. And it's hand carved, you know, with like benches and whatever. And I got it off Craigslist for $250.
And stop it.
That is like my favorite thing in the house because it was such a steal.
A crazy deal.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. So I feel you on how much things cost and telling everybody. I get
it. Yes, it's important.
It is important.
You got to tell people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what is something that people go on and on about, but you just can't handle sitting through it?
Oh my gosh, that's a good one. I'm just not a big television show person.
Okay.
Especially reality TV. I just want to throw myself out the window as soon as someone starts talking about reality TV.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, all you Bachelor fans. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I don't watch it either, but yeah, I get it. Okay, so I'm that way about dreams. I don't want to hear about your dream. That didn't happen. So stop talking about it. Not dreams like hopes and like plans, but like I dreamed that a bear was chasing me and then I turned into a scorpion or something. I don't want to hear about that.
Right. So,
I'm the worst when people start talking about dreams. Okay. What fad have you held on to even though it's not popular anymore?
Fad. I'm looking around my office right now. I don't even know.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Well, this is not a fad necessarily. Well, it kind of is a fad. The whole plant lady thing. I really have a black thumb.
Okay.
And so I have attempted, you know, the fiddle leaf, and I have a snake plant right next to me. They're okay. So sad. They are really, I just maybe need to get fake everything.
Fake plants. Yes.
Yeah. I want to grow, but apparently I can only keep children alive.
Yeah. I just actually got off the phone with Haley Morgan and she said, if it doesn't cry, it dies.
Yeah.
So I think you have the same life motto. I love it.
I will keep trying, but it's not looking too good.
My mom she can make anything grow. And it's a high bar to live up to, you know, because she lives in Arizona, but her backyard's like a jungle. I'm like, how do you even do this?
Oh, that's insane. Yeah.
I have five plants. That's all I can do. I can only do five plants. I don't know why.
Well, it's really sad. I felt like I maybe did an okay job. And then we went out of town and our oldest son was supposed to be watering them.
How'd that go?
There's such a thing as overwatering, I have learned.
Oh, well, that's great that he still did it.
Yeah, it was, he warped the floor.
Oh, so you didn't mean water the whole house.
It was like, yeah, not,
shoot.
It was like soup, Emily. All of the soil was just, yeah, well,
there you go.
They're very watered.
There you go. Wow. That, you know, it's so funny. You think you've covered all the bases, but you didn't. They invent bases that you didn't know you needed to cover. And then you come back to a warped floor. You're like, oh. Okay.
Like, oh, well, that's, thanks. That was good.
Thanks
you took
for
the
watering
the water
plant. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So finally, what is something you just can't stop talking about right now?
This is so nerdy, but I'm super addicted to the Old Testament.
Okay, what about it? Talk to me about it.
People say how boring it is.
Yeah.
And I just think it's chock full of drama.
Well, I'm in Exodus right now, and we're talking about building the temple exactly right. So I'm kind of in a dry place.
Yeah, that's a little rough area. Yeah. And maybe not Lamentations. That's a little rough too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hard times in Lamentations. Things are not going well. Yeah. So there is so much drama.
Yeah.
Those people be crazy.
I know. So that's maybe people get their eyes glaze over when I keep talking about it. But I am in the midst of writing Bible study, so maybe that helps my excitement.
Yeah. Is it a topic or is it a book?
It's a book. I'm writing three of them. They come out in 2020. So I'm officially talking about it now with you. But there is a Old Testament book, a New Testament book, and then a book on the Psalms. So neat. I'm pulling Psalms that correspond with the stories, various stories in 1 Samuel.
Okay.
So when David, you know, is being chased down by King Saul and how he feels about it. So it's kind of the Psalm study that I'm in the midst of right now is basically saying, I'm taking Hannah Brencher's, one of her chapter headings that said, saying yes in the darkness. Because one of our kids decided he didn't want to be in our family anymore last January. So it's just been a really hard time. And he's moved back home now. So we're healing, but it's kind of spurred out of devastation. And what does life look like in reality when you go through a devastating time?
Yes. Wow. I feel like we just opened a whole can of worms I would love to get into, but I don't have any time.
Sorry, this is the end.
Guess what? Wow. That's huge. Well, I can't wait to read those books.
Yeah. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, you'll have to come on and tell me about that story later. I can't even handle.
Yeah, definitely a longer conversation.
Yeah, gosh. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for all of this. It's been really great to get to know you better. And I know you from online, but it's great. I love hearing your heart.
Yeah, it's been a chat in real life. So thank you for taking the time with me.
You are so welcome. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
All right, ladies, I think we have a lot to think about this week based on what Teresa said. So what will your strategy be to struggle well? Let's have a plan so we don't just kind of meander around our week wondering why we didn't get anywhere. Maybe you struggle well this week by getting a pink front door. Mine is red. That's about as close as I can ever get to pink. But maybe you're a pink person and you need a pink front door. Maybe you're waiting for something and you're believing the lie that God hasn't remembered you or that he's not at work since you don't see any progress. Ladies, that's not true. He is. He always is. Maybe you struggle well this week by getting with him, writing down your concerns, and asking him to help you change your perspective. Keep your eyes open and watch for him at work. You'll find it. Keep reminding yourself that he is good. His nature has not changed. He's not good to other people and not good to you. As my husband likes to say, that's hogwash. Maybe you struggle well this week in the area of sanctuary by remembering or realizing maybe for the first time that in order for something to be cozy and nice, it doesn't have to be expensive. And like we both talked about, I think more than half the fun is getting a deal. So personally, and maybe you want to join me in this, but my strategy to struggle well this week is going to be inviting the women on my street for a party. I've been trying to do this and I just keep getting too busy or forgetting, but this week I am telling all of you so that I have to do it for sure. I want to invite all the women on my street to a party at my house. I have found a partner in crime. My friend Liz lives on my street and we're going to do it. Do you hear me, Liz? We're going to do this. And even though I'm friends with a lot of my neighbors, most of those neighbors don't live on my street. So this is out of my comfort zone, but I do not think I will die. So I'm going to do it. Real quick before we go, I just want to remind you that when you do your shopping this week, it would really help me if you could shop using the podcast affiliate link. The way you get there is to go to amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. I'm working on putting resources that are mentioned in the show on that page so that if you hear something, you can just head there, buy things that way. It doesn't cost you any extra, but Amazon does give a portion of your purchase to the podcast. So again, that website is amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the things that you've taught Teresa, and thank you that we get to learn from them. This week, as we wait, I pray that you would help us wait with a posture of humility and expectation, knowing that you are at work, even if we can't see it. I pray for the desires of our heart that are just very present. There's a lot of longing. Maybe we want a new thing to happen. Maybe we want a change to happen in a relationship. Lord, there's so much waiting and longing in our hearts because we just aren't home. So I pray that you would help remind us this week that we are not home that we'd keep our eyes on you, but that we'd also, like your word asks us to do, would excel still more in doing all the things that you have called us to that are right before our eyes, even in the midst of the waiting. I pray that you would help us this week to make our home a sanctuary. God, I pray that you'd help me to make my cozy looking home actually feel cozy by calming the heck down and being okay with a little more mess. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this week to struggle well in our communities by reaching out to our neighbors. For anyone like me who's gonna have a little get together, I pray that you'd give us bravery, and for any other ways that you are calling us to step out and get to know our neighbors, I pray that you would surprise us with your goodness when we step out of our comfort zone. God, thank you for your character being for us, and thank you that your character doesn't change. In Jesus' name, amen.